wrote this line in the play Romeo and Juliet. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That was spoken by Juliet, and those words were her recognition that if her beau, Romeo, were named anything but Montague, he would still remain the object of her love and devotion to her. The substance was in the man, not in his name. So what's in a name? Well, in the Bible, it's very different. Names in Scripture, most of the time, are ripe with meaning and substance. And when it comes to biblical names, no other person, and I would say capital P person in this case, measures name significance higher than the Son of God. His name stands far above all other names. He is known by many labels in Scripture. All of them are designed to portray and communicate amazing truths about his singular identity. The second person of the Godhead. We've already read this tonight. He's called Emmanuel, which is God with us. The angel of the Lord said to the shepherds one night in Judea, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Isaiah declared, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And yet for all these, there is a name which to this day and forevermore cannot be surpassed. Paul said so in Philippians chapter 2. He states that this name was given to this person by God the Father as a name which is above every name. That name is Jesus. And before the one that's named Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. And it's the birth of the one named Jesus that we celebrate this season. From the birth stories in the Scriptures, two citations about the name of Jesus are found. They are the two verses where the angel Gabriel, for sure, in the instance in Luke, I believe it was Gabriel in Matthew as well, came to Mary and then came again to Joseph sometime later, and he told them both that Jesus was the name that they would give to their baby boy. In Luke 1, Gabriel said to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Some months later, Matthew chapter 1, Gabriel told Joseph, "Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It's that statement that I want us to think about briefly tonight. To both of these people, we see Gabriel proclaiming ahead of time that the baby's name would be Jesus. Why that name? Why is his name Jesus? Because, as names do, the name Jesus reveals something. It reveals who he is and why he came. He shall be called Jesus. Well, let's first just consider the definition of the name itself. It's a very common name. The definition of the name Jesus, 980 times, Jesus is used in the New Testament to refer to the person of the Son of God, the one that we worship as Savior, as Redeemer, and Lord. And yet if you were to say the name in Hebrew, you would not pronounce it that way. You would pronounce the name as Yeshua or Joshua, if we were to anglicize it. And actually, in its fullest expanded form, it would actually have four syllables. It would be Yehoshua, Yehoshua. The Yah at the front is just transliterated, especially the Y and the H from the very name of God himself, Yahweh, the Lord. And then that's combined with this Hebrew verb, yashah, which means to save or to deliver. So Yahashua or Yeshua means the Lord is deliverance. The Lord is salvation. That's why this child was to be named Jesus, because built into the very definition of the name would be this child's purpose, his mission. And the angel followed that with an explicit pronouncement. He shall save his people from their sins. Of no other person has such a thing been said. There have been newborn boys named as heirs to kingdoms and empires. There have been boys named to carry on business or cultural dynasties. But there has been one person alone named as the Savior of men. It's the one identified as Emmanuel, the one to be born of a virgin, and as such to be the one and only person in all of history that will accomplish the propitiation for the sins of the world. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death is a penalty for sin. But through this boy, born of Mary, man will be saved from sin, and in him man can find life. That's what's in the name of Jesus. Well, that's its definition, but I would also emphasize this, that there's a message in that name as well. There's a message in the name of Jesus. Many times in Scripture, parents would declare a message in the name that they selected for their child. About 1,000, maybe 1,050 years before the Lord Jesus, there was a lady named Hannah who pleaded with the Lord to grant her a son. And when God answered her prayer and she delivered a boy, she named him Samuel, Shemuel. El, the Hebrew name for God, Shem or Shame, the Hebrew name word for name. His name literally had name in it. It literally translates name of God, or you might even say he belongs to God. Hannah wanted the world to know that she would honor her vow to the Lord for giving her a son. She built right into that boy's name that he was God's property. You put your name on something, it belongs to you. She put God's name on her son. He belongs to God. Samuel. Name of God. There's a message in that name. Well, in the same manner, there's a message in the name of Jesus. The Lord is salvation. There's a theme, of course. Salvation is the theme. To save. It's the result in which someone who's in a threatened or a dangerous condition, they are suddenly delivered from that pending doom. They're rescued. Related words would be liberation, redemption. And therefore, by implication, this newborn baby named Jesus is specifically designated to become a savior, a rescuer, a liberator, a redeemer. He's the hero. He's the one who acts to deliver victims from death so that those victims can live. And so then this one whose name is Jesus, he's the person about whom the theme of salvation speaks. But there's also, with that theme, with that message, is an audience. There was somebody who was to hear that message. Who was it that was intended to hear the message of Jesus' name? The angel declared to Joseph that the audience was to be, quote, his people. His people. People in the possessive, people belonging to him. And it means first that these people were the ones by whom he himself would be identified. More than just being the child born to Mary and Joseph, and more than eventually becoming known as Jesus of Nazareth, The audience of this message would be the nation of whom he was born. Jesus would be of his own, of his people Israel, and therefore he would be their deliverer. So the first audience of that message was his people Israel, and Jesus was born to save them. There is no question about the first recipients, the first targets of the Heavenly Father's love and attention. Throughout the scriptures, Israel has been the beloved of God. The 18 centuries of Israel's Old Testament existence as a people, and even through the two millennia of New Testament and post-biblical history to today, Israel has been promised and protected by the hand of God to be the object of his special mercy. And to think that this has been so in spite of Israel's spiritual failings and even their disloyalty and rejection of God's provisions, it is simply stunning that his love for the Jewish nation abides. And it's because God's promises are sure. When God sets forth an unconditional covenant, he cannot deny himself. When he decreed his love for Israel, it was done so in the absolute. And therefore, the message's audience was Israel. It was to them that this child was born. To them this son was given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name is Jesus. But then later, as a man, when Jesus died on the cross, one of the titles that was inscribed over him declared that he was Jesus, King of the Jews. Peter would later tell the Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then he said these words, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The name of Jesus. His first audience was his people, Israel. And yet there is a larger audience to that message as well, and that would be his creation, mankind. The gospel writer John says in the first chapter of his gospel, starting in verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Earlier in that same text, John recorded that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If it exists, Jesus made it. The peoples of the earth exist, so it follows that Jesus created them. Therefore, John 1:12, "Out of all mankind, there are those who receive, who believe on his name." And it is this new group of people who become the sons, the children of God, on the basis of faith alone in Jesus alone. Salvation, which is the very message of his name, is now targeted to all mankind and can be granted. The message in Jesus' name being for all humanity is something for us to celebrate. For those of us here today who have called on that name, we have found salvation that his name proclaimed. And by putting faith in the person that this newborn king is, we claim the promise of God for salvation. And that's why we can say truly, "Joy to the world, for the Lord has come." That person is Jesus. And that this is a message intended to be heard by the whole world means that you're part of the audience for whom that message is intended. God designs that you hear the message of the name Jesus, and that you would receive the deliverance that is offered in that name. The message of Jesus is the lifeline of salvation, and you need but lay hold of it by faith in order to find deliverance. And tonight I urge you, believe the message of the name of Jesus. Salvation is messaged in his name, and the audience of the message includes you. Find salvation through the name of Jesus. What's in a name? The question asked. Well, in this case, without the name of Jesus, there would be no tidings of comfort and joy. There would be no peace on earth, no goodwill toward men. Apart from Jesus, man is lost in sin and will suffer eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. But praise God, there is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he offers that life now to any who will receive the free gift of salvation. Yes, there is something about that name, the name of Jesus. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That name is Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here this evening that has not yet put their faith in that name, the person that you sent and singularly identified, built right into his very name, his mission for salvation, may this be the evening that they believe on Jesus, that they put their faith in him. May they recognize that they are lost in their own power, their own will, their own desire, their own sin that cannot be resolved, but that you sent your son Jesus to deliver us, that you might save your people from their sins. And may that purpose be fulfilled in those hearts tonight. For those of us who have settled that matter, may we be faithful witnesses and may we truly celebrate and revel in the power of Jesus' name. It's in that name that we ask these things. Amen.